And we're getting discharged all the time. And God charges every time we come to God. He charges us. But we get discharged very fast. And we get discharged in the wrong area. Just like a car which has left its light running. The batteries are not to just run the lights. It cannot last long. The lights of the car are supposed to be run through the generator electricity as the car is turning. Which is why as long as your car is running and is constantly charging the battery through its momentum and turning the magnets, it's constantly recharging the battery. And you find that, you know, for quite some time, it works. But if you stop the car, stop the engine, and leave the lights on purely on battery power, it doesn't last long. Your car goes flat. There is an internal charger that keeps on going if we will conserve it. But if we just dissipate it on the wrong things, by the time when we need it, the might is not there. What is telling us here in chapter 5 is that the spirit of might is enough in your life to do whatever job God gives you to do in your life. If you ever found that you lack the energy, you lack the might to do your work or your vocation, it's because you dissipated the energy. Like Paul, you say, God, God help me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Chapter 6, the spirit of knowledge. And you notice that the spirit of knowledge points to several areas here. We'll look at verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs or instruction are the way of life. What is telling you here is that knowledge comes as you keep the commandments of God constantly in your life. You see, wisdom comes from the spirit realm. Knowledge comes as you take the word into you, and where wisdom where knowledge of your, as you read with your physical eyes and it gets into your mind, and the spirit world works upon your soul, and you have something taking place on your inside in the commandments of God, you receive knowledge. What the world calls wisdom is many times just knowledge. And we confuse the difference between knowledge and wisdom many times. Knowledge are facts, principles that come forth as a result of study or as a result of precepts that we learn. But wisdom comes from the spirit realm. I'm talking about God's Bible definition. Wisdom is creative. Knowledge is monumental. See, once knowledge is there, it's like something that is always there. A precept, a line, a principle. But wisdom is a bubbly force, is a movement, while knowledge is a monument that you could use as a solid foundation to build certain things on. Knowledge speaks about precepts and example. So it tells us that knowledge comes through the commandments of God. Chapter 7. The fear of the Lord. And here, there's only one exhortation to keep the fear of the Lord. The entire scripture talks about avoiding the house of the adulterers. There's one key word, although it's not translated in the English, that you can see here. Verse 5, that they may keep you from or away from the immoral woman. In other words, flee immorality. The fear of the Lord is to flee sin. Now, we realize that we don't flee from the devil. We confront the devil. We resist the devil and he flees from us. But the New Testament is very clear. We do flee from certain things. We flee from situations and circumstances that will cause us to fall into sin. I'll give you the scriptures for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18. It says here, flee sexual immorality. Now notice the word flee, it means to run from, to avoid. Don't get into the situation and pray, oh God, give me grace. Too late. The Bible says avoid, flee. Look at Paul's advice to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, God knows us human beings well enough. By the time you get into a situation, it's very hard to avoid it. All your passion is stirred up. It's very hard to say no. We have to be like Joseph, flee at the beginning. In chapter 2, 2 Timothy... And we are looking at 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. Flee, it tells us. Now this is the same Paul who tells us that we wrestle with principalities, powers, and wicked spirits in heavenly places, and wicked rulers of darkness of this day. The same Paul who says we can wrestle with the enemy is the same one who tells us to flee circumstances. Flee circumstances that will cause us and lead us into sin. Say no when it's easy to say no. Don't wait until you're in a situation where it's very hard to say no. Don't wait until everything, every cell in your body is saying yes, 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 yes. And then you want to say no. It's very difficult. Say no over there. And that's what the fear of the Lord means. See, this first 9 chapter tells us how to move into that realm. We say no at the beginning when it's easy, not when it's hard. And by that we show that we fear the Lord. We don't show that we fear the Lord by entering the situation like a brave person and then saying no there and trying to go out like a hero, but actually the leg already chained. And can't get out. Chapter 8 is a conclusion, which is the Spirit of the Lord. And it reached the highest point. The highest point. Now it mentions some areas of all the seven in chapter 8 itself as a conclusion. The Spirit of the Lord. And notice in verse 12, I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now that is why we say the fear of the Lord is not to even enter into it. If you hate something, you wouldn't even hold it. You wouldn't even consider it. A lot of what people say the fear of the Lord is, they are not practicing it. In chapter 8, the Spirit of the Lord, it talks about the creation from verse 22 right to verse 31. Which is why we say the Spirit of the Lord is the highest point you could reach. Where it shows you the glories of God. That's what the Spirit of the Lord does. And chapter 9 concludes with the seven pillars of wisdom in verse 1 that we read just now. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Then we move to the second section which speaks briefly about the life of Jesus Christ. And we're just going to briefly look at all these verses. There's a whole lot to study in chapter 10, right on to chapter 24. And you could actually trace the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John from chapter 10, right on to chapter 24. You could actually trace it there. Everything he said, everything he proclaimed within those chapters. Every chapter has something that points to Jesus and His works and what He has done. The glory of His resurrection power, the inheritance in the saints, and every promise of His. Look at chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Now, all these point to Jesus and the atonement. Jesus came to as a covering for our sins. Love comes. You could actually trace all of 1 Corinthians 13, all the love inside. Let me just give it to you in a flash. We won't go into detail in that. In 1 Corinthians 13, let me read that statement first. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 onwards, it says here, verse 4, love suffers long and is kind, love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, in this statement about love, he covers the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. All the nine fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, you find, 22-23, you find here. For example, you have love suffers long, you have a long suffering there. And love is kind, you have kindness. And then you have love does not envy, does not parade itself up, is not puffed up. That is peace with all the people around you. Love does not behave rudely, that is gentleness. And does not seek its own, and is not provoked, and is not provoked. Love does not seek its own, and is not provoke. And you find that love here is depreciating yourself, meekness and gentleness and self-control. That's what the new translation call it, self-control, temperance. Then love thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It tells you what the real joy is. Love, joy, peace. What joy is? Joy is not rejoicing in sin or iniquity, but rejoicing in the truth. Then, bears all things, believe all things. Now, bears all things, you notice, connects to faithfulness. You're faithful. And endures all things also connection to faithfulness. That believes all things, hopes all things, connects to goodness. You find all the nine fruit of the Spirit in this portion. But what we can find is all these areas that Jesus fulfilled in His life can be found in the book of Proverbs. I'll run through with you in the book of Proverbs. You find it exactly follows 1 Corinthians 13 if you analyze it further. For example, in Proverbs chapter 10. Are you all in the book of Proverbs now? Right. Proverbs 10. We don't want to leave some of you in the New Testament, right? Proverbs 10 is love suffers long. 11, love is kind. Chapter 12, love does not envy. Chapter 13, this is a very easy way to finish. But we are not finishing yet, right? Chapter 13, and love does not parade itself. Chapter 14, is not puffed up. Chapter 15, does not behave rudely. That's why you see chapter 15 verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. So you find the connection there. Chapter 16, does not seek its own. And chapter 17, is not easily provoked. Chapter 18, thinks no evil. Chapter 19, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Chapter 20, bears all things. Chapter 21, believes all things. Chapter 22, hopes all things. Chapter 23, endures all things. Chapter 24, love never fails. Now, that is a whole study in itself, which I'm just throwing out that you can look into that. But that's not what we are fully looking into. We are trying to show that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10 to 24, the life of Jesus is hidden there in little nuggets. Like in chapter 10, we are back in chapter 10, verse 12, love covers all sins. Now that is one of the purpose of Jesus coming. He came to cover our shame. The shame that was there, when Adam and Eve